What's occurring, bud?
What's occurring? How are you?
I'm good, mate. I actually, do you know what? I didn't send you the video, but I rode through Aspermont today and I took a video.
Oh, yeah?
Looking for your bottle of wine. Well, I
didn't find it then.
No, I'll actually send it to you now as we speak. I had a bit of a gander, but it was nowhere obvious.
Well hidden, mate.
Is it still there?
Oh, I hope so. I'm going to head up on Monday.
Oh, brilliant.
Good luck.
Yeah, I was out with Jasper Simon. I was telling him the story. He was laughing about it as well.
Oh, he's into his wine, isn't he?
Mate.
Tell him it was 14 euros. He probably would have,
He's mad for his wine. Like,
yeah.
Expensive wine. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He knows all about it. Next level, that guy. Maybe we should get him on, talk about wine.
But well, you can talk about wine.
Yeah. Red, white, or rosé, they're the only three I know. So how's it going over there, mate? Obviously, mega.
Yeah, three hectic days, to be honest. Obviously, the prologue started really well. Ethan won that. I was fourth, which was a pleasant surprise, really. Wasn't too sure I was going to go after, you know, a big day out on Sunday with Liège and then like 7 hours in the car with the Pluska, the local legend. He loved it that week.
Yeah.
In Belgium, like, it was, he kept saying, oh, it's the biggest race of the year, huh?
Liège.
Yeah. Oh, he absolutely loved it. So, and then in the morning, he's like, wow, I'm a bit nervous, huh? It's a big day, this.
Legend.
He just absolutely loves it. So, to be fourth in the prologue, you know, such a short, punchy little thing, which you definitely got to be fresh for. So that was nice.
It was super technical as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as what we first thought on paper. Like, once we saw it, there was obviously, yeah, a lot of corners, but none of them were too crazy, really.
Yeah.
They were all quite flowing. But yeah, so that was a good start. And then Ethan was in the jersey then. And the first stage, we were all riding on the front, you know, riding for him. And he was at the back of Peloton most of the day. I think he just rides to his Garmin a bit too much as well. Like, he just, so basically what happened, we were on one climb and he was like, oh, so I asked him afterwards, obviously, like, you know, because I said on the radio, come up front with us, but he obviously didn't. And he was like, oh, what, you know, what's the issue, what's up? And just said that on one of the climbs he just wanted to go a bit easier and he drifted back a bit and then, yeah, didn't really move up again. But yeah, kind of left it a bit late to try and move up because it was, you know, the crash was like, what, inside 15K to go or something?
The crash was, yeah, 13 or 15K. Yeah, 15K to go, I think.
Yeah, so we had a good, we definitely had a good chat about that on the bus. And he turned around today, he stayed with us and won the stage. So hopefully he'll do more of that in the future, really, because you know, we're all here to help him. So yeah. Use us, and at the front is the safest place. It's one of those, like I said to him, sometimes you gotta spend energy to save energy in the long run. Yeah. And like, you might save 20, 30 watts on a climb for like 3 or 4 minutes, but then, you know, we all know when you're at the back, you know, going down a descent, you're sprinting more out of corners, got a bit of a flat road, it's all one line at the back, you know, you hit a little climb, it's still go in at the back and it's a lot easier in the front, and you know, it's just a bit more hectic as well. There's obviously more chance of crashes happening because you're behind everyone in the race. Bit of a harsh lesson for him to learn, I guess, because you know, it didn't look great, the leader of the race at the back and his whole team riding at the front, and then he's crashed. And yeah, but luckily he was okay. And yeah, turned around today. That was great. It was a hectic little finish, but we stuck together well. And then Big Magnum got his shuffle bounce on.
Yeah,
or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, oh, mate, he proper raked his bike, didn't he?
Yeah.
And good little lead out for him. Because me and Pleppy were in front of Ethan, didn't really know where he was. And it's one of them, like, K to go, you don't want to be looking behind, like, trying to look for someone. So, but then I saw Magnum and Ethan come past on the left with about K to go. So I got, they're laughing.
I turned it on. I turned it on, like, just before you guys started lighting it up. When you guys went, I was like, yes, here we go. Knew exactly what you're doing, making it hard. Surprised Gaviria made it, so fair play to him. But
that was good, actually, because before it, we were like, wow, 25K to go. It's quite a long way out, and it's a bit of a headwind. But there was a kicker, so we went on the start of the descent just to, you know, be in front. We wasn't going to do any damage on the descent, but then we hit this kicker, and the Pluska just, yeah, really went for it. There was solid pace up there. Ethan was telling him to slow down a bit, actually. And that got rid of Ethan Vernon, the quick step sprinter dude. He's Neo this year, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he won a stage in Catalonia or something. So rider, another good British rider. So yeah, we got rid of him, but we knew he'd come back, but it was more just getting him in the red, really, you know. Same with Gaviria. As you say, Gaviria didn't get dropped, but
he never did come back.
I don't. Oh, did he not? I assumed he did.
No, he blew his load.
Well, that's good then. But yeah, and then, you know, there was another climb, but it was a bit of a headwind, and Amador was, oh man, you can tell he's South American. The way he was riding up that climb, you know, when they just kind of go 550 watts, 300 watts, 600 watts, yeah. 250 watts, 600. Like, it was just so, like,
yeah.
And then he was like in the middle of it, but he was like in the gutter. Over the top
as well. A little bit of crosswind.
Yeah, it was.
Full power,
yeah,
top.
It was cross over the top. Yeah. And we got squeezed a bit, actually. And like Jumbo, we're on our right. We were in the left hand gutter. Jumbo squeezed us. And Kreuzwick, Stephen, was on my right. And I was like, Stephen, you know, just because he could have given me a bit of space to like stay on the wheel. And he looked back. He knew it was me, but he just closed the door. So then I was like, right, I'm going to remember that, mate. Anyway, sure enough, 5K later, we're on the, still on the left. The Jumbo start to come up our inside. So I think it's guessing first. Then there's Dennis. And I was like, it's going to be Steven next. So I just went left. And then I felt this hand on my hip. And he's like, GG. And I look back and it's obviously Steven. And I was like, oh, yeah, you forgot about 5K ago, did you? I might have called him something, a name, and just went left and just, yeah, took him off the wheel. What goes around comes around, eh?
Brilliant. Mate, you're a changed man this year.
I was just like, I'm just fed up of, like, you know, I always, like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm biased, but I'm quite a chilled, relaxed guy in the peloton, and if somebody wants a wheel, you make a bit of space, you let them have it, you know. But now it's just like, it's dog eat dog, isn't it? So it's like, well,
it's, yeah,
basically. So, yeah, I'll have a chat to him tomorrow. He'll be fine. I'll let him have the wheel after a few.
You know, he crashed though.
No, he didn't.
No, it showed aerial footage. When you turned left, you went off the road, broke his collarbone.
No, happy. I didn't take his wheel away. I just took the wheel off him. That's all it was.
Yeah, he went in the ditch, poor fella.
So a good day. But yesterday as well. So we lost the GC with Ethan, or lost the jersey. Get to the start today, and we're supposed to have this meeting, aren't we? As soon as you rock up to start, you have your team meeting, don't you?
Oh, sorry. Can we rewind? You know, yeah, you said you guys went with 25K to go. Was that the plan at the start on the bus from the get-go?
Yeah, yeah. And we did one lap. Well, yeah, it was. It wasn't exactly 25K to go, but it was around that sort of area. And in the race, we did the same last 40K. The first 40K were the same as the last 40. So we were like, yeah, we'll definitely have a go here. So it was the plan, yeah. And everyone committed to it because not everyone was there initially. But it was good to just see everyone just really sort of fight to get there and be there. And obviously Ethan had the bit between his teeth as well after yesterday. So and his victory salute, actually, we didn't mention that, did we? He went across the line giving it the whole finger on his lips. So I haven't actually seen him, so I hope he's not telling us to be quiet, but I don't think he is. I think he got a lot of stick on social media. So,
yeah.
But I don't really understand the celebration because he rode differently, didn't he? He actually rode with us today. Yeah, if he had ridden around at the back for the whole race again and then won.
Back to ask him at dinner, mate.
But yeah.
I'll ask him.
It's kind of funny him doing that, though, isn't it? Like, he's such a quiet, sort of timid guy.
Yeah, it's not like him.
No.
Getting angry at this shit. You and him, you're rubbing off on him.
Yeah. But, so yeah, anyway, back to the start today. Yeah, so we're supposed to have this meeting. The S's are outside just chatting to the jury, commissaires. I'm just like, oh, what's going on there? Anyway, think nothing of it. Go to the back of the bus, you're getting ready, spraying ourselves with that bloody sticky thing so our socks don't bloody fall down.
Yeah.
And then Brett comes up to me, he's like, oh, gee. Sorry, Jay. Sorry, mate. Oh, Jay, I fucked up yesterday, mate. I was like, what'd you do? Like, I don't know, it was something personal, nothing to do with the team, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, that feed you got, it was inside 20k to go. I was like, what are you on about? I didn't go back to the car then. He was like, no, the extra feed. And I was like, oh shit, yeah. Basically, the commissaire said some teams complained and they had to give me a 20-second penalty because it was inside 20k to go. 19.6k to go, it was 400 meters inside. But yeah, rules are rules and all that jazz.
Alaphilippe lost the yellow jersey in the tour by doing the same thing, didn't he? Remember that?
Yeah. So, it's
a bit of a balls up by the team, that, isn't it?
Oh, massive balls up. Yeah,
you see someone on the side of the road from your own team, you don't know if it's 19.7 or
20.3. Yeah.
But
the shitty thing is, though, I didn't even really need the ball because I didn't even, very last minute, I was like, oh, I'll have it. And then it was as the guy was taking it away. So I missed that one, the initial, the first one. So I just took the second one. And then I took a gel and threw I had a sip of the ball and just threw it straight away.
To God, do you know what? You'd love to know which team complained, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Although part of me is like, you know, the commissaires, they're probably just passing the buck. They're making that excuse when they just want to give me the thing anyway. They don't know what to believe these days. But
need some more money for their end to do Christmas party, don't they? Bell ends.
Oh, mate, yeah. Oh, I got fined as well. So I got 2 fines yesterday.
Fucking hell, you're going to have no prize money left at this rate.
I know. Urinating in public.
Crashing Croyswick.
Urinating in public.
You dirty bugger.
So doing it off the bike, obviously, to save a bit of energy. And, you know, you're like, it takes a while to get going, doesn't it? So once you get going, you don't really want to stop.
Yeah.
And I could see people coming. It must have been this time. I could see people coming. I was like, trying to force it out. Left it to last minute and then, you know, whipped it away. I wasn't that close to him. But obviously, the commissaires thought I was. So, yeah, I got fined for that as well.
This race, you had a dodgy feed, you crashed Croyswig, and you gave some spectators a golden shower.
I didn't crash Croyswig, but yeah, the other two, well, golden shower, golden trickle on their toes, maybe.
Yeah. Oh.
But
a couple of kids and their grandparents, wasn't it? Just there, happily clapping away. Next minute, they're just getting sprayed in piss. Bloody hell, man.
So, yeah. Eventful, but
I tweeted 10 minutes ago that we're doing a podcast and if there's any questions. So,
one other thing actually, I've just remembered.
Yeah, go on, crack on.
After the prologue, right? These young boys in this team, they're so like hung up on aerodynamics and stuff and like know so much shit about it.
Magnus and Plappy.
Magnus, Plappy, and Ethan. And I was sat there boys, what? Talking about all this random stuff, and I was just like, God, I've absolutely no idea what you're going on about. They're even talking about the mechanics jig. Apparently, they've got some new jig to measure bikes. I was like, I didn't even know what the first one was like, mate. I don't actually know what you're going on about.
Do you know what? You don't know that now, and how much less did you know 10, 12 years ago when you first turned pro? And they know
that. Exactly. Yeah. Kid. Oh, mate, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, like, the difference between me and them is pretty big.
No, I mean, it it's a positive that they know so much, isn't it? But it's just mental.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know how Nico Roach was always like, oh, guys, we did this descent in, tore a bloody Timbuktu in 2007. Magnum today, we finished. He was like, oh, I did that in some junior tour, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, oh, when was that? Thinking like it must have been a while ago. It was like two or three years ago. Oh, kids, eh?
Right.
Anyway, these questions then.
Right, you can answer this one. This is off, I think, someone from China or Japan, so I don't know their name. What is the difference between keep position at the front of peloton all day and be in back of the peloton most of the day for moving up forward at the important point?
Well, we've kind of mentioned this already, innit? It depends on the day. Like, if it's just a flat day, no real wind and stuff, not loads of corners, then at the back makes no difference, does it? But, you know, if it's technical, up, down, left, right, you've got to be at the front, haven't you? You just save so much.
Really?
Yeah. If there's wind and, like, I don't know, for me as well, I prefer to be up in the front in the mix a bit because you just switched on.
Yeah.
I feel like if you go back, oh, yeah, you kind of just, you relax too much. I do, I switch off a bit, relax too much. But.
Yeah. I've got another question. We can both answer this one. If you could sign one of the following for your team, which would it be? Remco, Wout van Aert, or Podjakar?
Oi. Who would you sign?
Wout van Aert. Because Remco, ever since you pushed Big Ben, I didn't like.
Oh, fair play though. We've got to say about his Liège win though. That was impressive.
Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? Anyway, no. It was mega. I think credit where credit's due. Hey, his attack was that powerful. His back wheel did a bloody
somersault. Mate, I was going to say, you know, when you see people attack like that, like I've seen a few attack, like Carapaz, for instance, in Liège last year, like max 1 minute power when he attacked on it, and then obviously just blew his doors off. Remco did that, but he just kept going. Like,
yeah,
that was impressive. Like for us, oh, just have a quick chat about what we did. But basically, started with five guys. Omar and Castro, Carlos were sick.
Ah, were they?
Yeah, Carlos was throwing up the day before. Omar was to and from the toilet in the morning. Danny was up in the night with a bit of a sore stomach, and then I also had a bit of something. It wasn't 100%, but I had a little crampy pill thing, and that sorted me out, so it didn't really affect me. But so we basically started with five guys, and then at La Redoute, oh, Pidcock crashed in the race. That big crash, that was a big old crash.
Were you in front of that?
I was actually at the back. I had plenty of time to stop, but lift my bike up and just like weave through all the bikes and bodies. And like, you rarely hear guys screaming, do you, in a crash? But this one, there was a good three or four guys like, and I was just like, I was looking for any of our guys and didn't see anyone. I saw Alaphilippe down in the ditch and he looked bad. I think Bardet was with him. But then, yeah, I just got going, and Tom was actually in the ditch as well somewhere, but didn't see him. And then it all comes down to like, that's the thing with Liège and Flèche. They're quite boring races, aren't they? They all have the similar sort of way the race goes every year.
Yeah.
So yeah, Liège came down to La Redoute. I wasn't feeling great. So I said to the boys, you know, I'd do a job, help them out. And then the top of La Redoute, bloody Danny's chain comes off. So I swing out the line. I saw some guy pushing him, but he couldn't get back on. He had to stop. I'd swung out the line then. And the next thing I know, Kwiatko, 10K before, was saying he felt good. And then top of La Redoute, Kwiatko's dropped. I was like, shit. So I got back in. I was in a group that was dropped then, though. And Kwiatko got Danny back to me. I managed to close it, which was my race effort then, you know?
Yeah.
Because they were chasing full gas to try and close Remco. So that hurt. It was like 2-3, 4 minutes maybe, full gas, closing this gap. Rode on a bit. rode at the front for a bit with like Moritz and a couple of other guys, but then the car was telling me to stop riding. And I was a bit like, well, the race is up the road. Like, we need get Remco. Yeah. But then second, third time of them telling me to stop, I stopped and made sure Danny got into the bottom of the climb in a good position. But you know what it's like in those big one-day races? Like, the favourites just watch each other a lot, don't they? And it's just like, oh, after you, you go and then I'll pull type thing, you know? And yeah, Remco, fair play to him. He held his gap to that climb. And then, yeah, the favourites hesitated, didn't really kick off until towards the top of the climb. And that gave Remco the gap he needed. And yeah, but Danny was fourth, which was good considering, you know, everything that went wrong for us. But it would have been nice to have finished such a good sort of classics campaign with a podium. But yeah, it's the way it goes, isn't it?
And Remco never really looked like getting caught either. He was just going, wasn't he?
Yeah, like it was coming down a bit, but it was just like, at least if I just commit as well, that's one more guy just committed to chasing.
Yeah.
But even behind though, you know what it's like? It's like Movistar start and then nobody really joins. So they start to lose guys and then Bahrain come and then nobody else really joins. And then, you know, somebody else sends someone. It's like, if everyone just commits straight away, bam.
Yeah.
And you ride together, you close it, and then everyone's in with a chance of winning them.
Yeah.
But it's just how those races go, isn't it? Like game you see it so often.
Yeah. Game of chess, you think, well, if we don't pull out, Paul have more guys and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly, yeah. Because going into that race, we were like, oh, we got five guys on their day, potentially could be within, you know, a shout of that front group on top of the last climb.
Mm.
But as ever in these races, so much happens, and we had one in the end. But yeah, there we go. But anyway, signing those riders, I'd probably go Pogacar. He'd be the most expensive, but he can just win anything. He can win a classic, a monument, bloody Grand Tours. Like, Wout van Aert is the most versatile for sure, and he can, you know, do a really good job as a teammate, but Pogacar can just win them all. He can win Flanders. He can win the Tour and everything else in between.
I agree that Pogacar will be the most valuable and win the biggest races. Remco's is getting better and better. You know, we're not still not 100% sure how good he can get, but I'd go Wout van Aert just because he'd be the most exciting to ride with. You know, like having a leader like him in the classics. You know, going for green jersey and Grand Tours and just a bit more exciting. But yeah, I agree, Pogacar.
Yeah, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't turn any of them down, really, would you?
No. Okay. When right this or that sorry, that question was off Ben Lewis. All right, Benny boy. Got another question off John Fahey. When riding as a domestique, do you ever get cross with who you are riding for if they feel you have put in the work for them and they do not perform? That's what I mean. No.
Yeah, you don't get pissed off when they don't perform, but you do get annoyed when they don't follow you when you're trying to move them up, or you know they don't talk to you when they've got an issue, or you know, just like simple things like that. It's just like, but obviously you're not annoyed when they don't perform because, yeah. As long as they tried their best, didn't it? Like,
yeah. For me, it's all a commitment thing. If you work for someone, they're 100% in, they do everything they can, and they finish 20th, hey-ho. If you work for someone all day and they bottle it or you sense they're not 100% all in, then that's the only circumstance you might be a bit like, come on, man.
Yeah, but that's rare, though, isn't it?
That's rare. Yeah. I can't think of the time. Got a question off Chris Cool. Are you both riding in the next Commonwealth Games?
Oh.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah, fucking right.
Has it been selected? I didn't know it was selected.
You might make the cut.
No, yeah, hopefully I'll be there. TT Road Race. What about you? Are you going to ride the track?
No.
Well, I'll make an appearance on the old track, like.
Mate, I wouldn't get selected. God, when was the last time you rode the track?
2012. Well, no, I think must have done.
No, even sorry, even rode the track.
Oh.
Years.
Oh, no idea. Years.
Yeah, I've ridden the track for years and years. Question.
You need to get down the Gary Thomas National Velodrome Wales, mate.
Yeah. Oh, do you know Maindy is going?
Yeah.
Gutting that, isn't it?
Yeah, like obviously there's other new place, isn't it? Like, and if that's actually all going to be as they say, and it's going to be, you know, that will be good. But yeah, it's sad to see Maindy go, isn't it?
Mate, how many laps of that have we done in our life? Cold winter evenings, then Wednesday chain gangs in the rain. Maindy mini league as kids. God, we've done some laps of that.
Yeah. All the little dips and bloody downhill sections. And
did my first ever Madison with you on that track.
Yeah?
Yeah. Got a picture of it somewhere. Well, the track is, yeah, it was an old landfill site, wasn't it? Then they built a track on top of it. So that's why there's bloody dips and bumps because it's starting to start
sinking,
seeping it. Brilliant. No. This question is off David Ruvalcaba. How would you describe World Tour life in 5 words?
I can do it in 6.
Go on then.
Not as glamorous as you think.
I was just checking it was 6 words. Yeah, fair one.
Yeah. It's tough, but it's good, isn't it? It's like, it's the pinnacle.
Yeah, it's mega, but like you say, there's no glamour. It's just fucking tough. And it's a lot of time on the road.
Yeah.
People only see the racing, they don't see the training, and it's a 10-month season. But we've got nothing to complain about.
No, but it's just like, you know how you just assume we get looked after really well, but like, you know, hotels, transfers, late finishes, early starts, like not all the time, but like here, for instance, it's late starts, late finishes. So, you know, we're not having breakfast till 10:30, so you get a nice lie in, but you're also not finishing dinner till 10:00. Speaking of that, I got to go soon, but yeah. It's definitely, it's not as you'd imagine, but in some ways, but it is like just as good as you imagine when you're a kid, when you're in like the tour and you're racing, you know, at the front and, you know, all that type of jazz.
Especially when you have like that week I had where the team won them 3 races, Amstel,
yeah,
Provence, Roubaix, weeks like that you live for. Like the whole team's buzzing. Then you're like any sport, like any walk of life, good times, bad times, don't you?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And like, yeah, the days you're training in the rain, they're not actually that often anymore, are they? Like, we're lucky we get to live in a southern than Wales. You know, if it rains one day, you know it's gonna be sunny the next, so you know the day off and
sack it off.
Yeah. It's not so bad.
Right, yeah, you better get to dinner, mate, and ask Ethan why you did this celebration.
Yeah, I will do. I'll let you know.
All right, happy days. Well, mate, bring it home this week then, mate.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Another good potential stage for Ethan tomorrow, and then we hit the mountains then, so that'll be interesting. It's supposed to rain as well Saturday, so that'll be fun. And then a mountain time trial Sunday, so yeah.
Oh, it's another time trial.
Yeah, it's the one where Egan won in 2018, the Mountain TT. I bombed out big time, but then went on to win the tour. So if I bomb out again, at least I've got that sort of thing to pick me up afterwards.
Hang on, no, I wasn't there. I'm talking about Tour de Suisse. I'm thinking of Tour de Suisse Mountain Time Trial. No, I wasn't there. Anyway, right. Enjoy your dinner, mate, and good luck.
All right, but will do. Ciao, ciao.
Da-da, boy. Ciao, ciao.